Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the opportunity you have given us to come here at this moment in time once more to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for your long suffering that has allowed us to reach this point into the day, but we have an opportunity to hear the truth and to make changes within our lives that would be important for us to have a chance at salvation. We pray, Lord, that if repentance is needed in someone's life, that they repent. We pray, Lord, that if someone needs to hear this truth and obey it and be baptized and be added to the church, that they do so this evening. We pray, Lord, that if there was someone who is in a worshiping in a situation where will worship is what they offer Sunday after Sunday, that at the conclusion of listening to Brother Orr's lesson tonight, they will understand the detrimental effects of will worship and upon someone's soul. Heavenly Father, we ask that someone who is seeking truth this evening humbly submit themselves to your word and do what your scriptures require of them to be saved. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Philando. We appreciate you so very much for working with me, and we're so thankful to be able to share this opportunity with you for the last since the month of May. We're thankful tonight, especially to have those who are on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ. We see our call is still loading up now. Many are still calling in. We want to welcome those who have just recently joined our call. We pray now you open your Bible, prepare to study with us for the next 30 minutes from the Word of God. Our preacher tonight is a person, Brother Charles Orr, is a graduate of the Florida School of Preaching in Lakeland, Florida. It's his 35th year as a minister of the Church of Christ in West Orlando, Florida. We are so thankful that he accepted our invitation. He's been on our call before. Tonight, Brother Orr will talk to us about this matter as we are investigating this month, the fact that God's word has been settled in heaven. God's word has settled the matters on these different subjects. And tonight, we want to talk about will worship. Brother Orr, tell us about that so we make sure we're not in danger of will worship. Tell us about that, Brother Orr.
I'm delighted to be here tonight. I appreciate so very much the invitation, and we are grateful to God for our Brother Brooks and the brethren who labor so diligently with him to get the message of God's word to the lost and dying in this world. I've been assigned the subject will worship. Will worship. We're going to first define the term will and worship, and then we're going to go to the text of Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to look at what God has to say relative to will worship. First, the meaning of the word will. Will is defined to wish or choose, the power of making a reasoned choice or decision, or of controlling one's own actions. According to Webster's New World Dictionary, Second College Edition, Simon and Schuster, page 1627. Strong's defines the word will thus: desire, wishes, or pleasure. We can see the use of this term in John chapter 7 and verse 17, when Jesus said, "If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Again, in John chapter 4 and verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." This word is the Greek word thelamar, which means the pleasure of one. And then there's the word thelo, which there defines as to have in mind, to determine. We see its use in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. In other words, God, the subject, is working in them to will and to work or to do his good pleasure. So when we talk about will, we're speaking about one's mindset, one's desire, one's wishes. The Bible talks about three wills in the New Testament. Number one, it talks about the will of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Number two, it talks about the will of man. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible reads, "For the prophecy came not in old times," notice, "by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And then thirdly, the Bible talks about the will of Satan. In John the 8th chapter and verse number 44, John the 8th chapter and verse number 44, Jesus said to those Jews which claimed to be of God the Father, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust or desires or will of your father ye will do." So when we speak concerning the will of one, we're speaking in particular tonight the desires, the wishes of one. And then there's the word worship. Worship is defined thus: an act or series of religious acts characterized by a feeling of reverence and love. Again, an act or series of religious acts characterized by a feeling of reverence and love. Now, naturally, these acts are addressed to God, thus they involve purpose and the intent to worship God. These acts, number two, must be directed by God if they are to be accepted by him. Number three, these acts are to be performed by a faithful servant of God if they are to bring honor to God and bless the person that is doing the worshiping. So when we talk about worship, we're talking about performing acts, a series of religious acts that are commanded or ordained by God with purpose of worshiping him. It involves our heart or our consciousness to worship. There are six different types of worship we find in the New Testament. And I know that there are two other brethren who will be dealing with two of these, but I want to mention them as we go down to our subject. There is angel worship, which we can see right in our text of Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 16 and following, which we will get back to in a second. And then in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 10, as John fell at the feet of the angel which spoke with him, the Bible says, Revelation 19 and verse 10, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou doest it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Again, in Revelation 22, and the verses are 8 and 9. Revelation chapter 22, and the verses are 8 and 9. John says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou doest it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Now listen, worship God. So it's clear to see that angel worship was attempted even by an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was restrained from doing so by the host of God. And then number two, there's creature worship. Romans chapter 1, the verses of 22 and following. Romans chapter 1, the verses of 22 and following. As Paul talked about those who refused to retain God in their knowledge, God giving them over to a reprobate mind, they professed themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made likened to corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust or desires of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served. Now listen, the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. And then, of course, there's vain worship. Matthew 15 and the verses are 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, the verses are 8 and 9. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Vain worship. Empty worship. And then fourthly, the Bible talks of ignorant worship. In Acts chapter 17, the verses are 22 and following, Paul, on his second missionary journey, came to Athens, and seeing the city wholly given to idolatry, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare unto you." And then, of course, there is true worship. This worship, we know, is from the heart, according to John chapter 4 and verse 24, and Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, as Jesus condemned those who vainly worshiped him, he said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And then, of course, there's our subject, will worship. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 23. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 23. Paul says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." And so our subject, will worship, worship that is concocted in one's own mind. Will worship is defined as a combination of two words. The first word, fellow, as we have mentioned, it means to have in mind. Please notice, to have in mind, determined by one's own judgment. So that which had its origin in one's own mind. And then the second word, Greshika, it is defined as arbitrary worship, not fixed by rules, but left to one's own judgment or choice. So will worship is worship which one prescribes and devises for himself, contrary to the contents and nature of faith, which ought to be directed to Christ. Where worship, very simply stated, is worship that a person comes up with, they just feel like they want to do it, and they just feel like God would accept it to the chagrin of them, because God's worship is constrained by the will of God. We know it because of John 4, 23 and 24, and because of Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and following. The worshiper of God, then, must have as his director God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, a verse already mentioned by us, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." The American Standard 1901 version. God is to direct our worship. We cannot come up with our own way of worshiping God and be pleasing to him. It was Jesus who said in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father," notice, "in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Must is a modifier. It modifies all actions that are to follow. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, the question naturally comes then, what does it mean to worship him in spirit and in truth? Well, it means to worship sincerely and according to the truth revealed by the Spirit of God. It was Jesus who taught in John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John 6 and verse number 63. "It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Now listen, "the words I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life." God directs our worship to him via his word, thus his spirit. It is impossible for one to worship the God of heaven according to his own trumped up desires, his own trumped-up choices, his own trumped-up demands. He must worship God according to God's revealed truth and not his own. What does that have to do with the church at Colossae? Well, many in the church at Colossae worship God according to their own will. And Paul would warn them of those who would, quote, "defraud and rob them of their prize by voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." This worship was, look at verse 18. This worship was vainly puffed up by their own fleshly mind. By their what now? Their own fleshly mind. They came up with this worship themselves. And that's why Paul warned them, let no man beguile you of your prize or your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Now listen, intruding into those things which you have not seen, well, where did he get them from? His own mind, vainly puffed up by his own fleshly mind. Paul would further tell them in verse number 22, that this style of worship was after the commandments and doctrines of men. Look at verse number 22. Paul says, which all ought to perish with the using, speaking of those things that they would eat, those things that they were not to touch. And we understand, for those of you who are wondering, why have we not talked about agnosticism and the agnosticism that is here in this church where we are? You're just missing it. For it was the agnostics who taught that the spirit was of all value and the flesh didn't mean anything. But Paul is pointing out to them that the flesh is just as important as the spirit. I often tell brethren, if the flesh is not important, why did God leave us here in the flesh? Notice what he says of this type of worship, which are all to perish with the using. Now listen, after the commandments and doctrines of men. What these agnostic teachers were teaching to the brethren at Colossae was not worship orchestrated by God, but rather it was worship orchestrated by their own feelings. In other words, if it feels good, do it. But Paul clearly refutes this idea, and he tells them in verse number 23 that this kind of worship, vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind, verse 18, which was after the commandments and doctrines of men, verse 23, that's will worship. That is arbitrary worship. Worship that is not fixed by God's rules, but left to one's own judgment or choice. The Bible still tells us, the last time that I studied it, which was a few seconds ago, in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Whether it be a simple act of service, or whether it be the worshiping of God, we must have divine warrant from God. We must have instruction, authorization from God. And so Paul was very clear to these brethren that they were to seek those things which were above. Seek God's wisdom, God's way. You're going to worship him? You worship him according to his will. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your desires, your will. Set your desires, your will. The King James says affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And he tells us why. Because ye are dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. When you became a Christian, you gave up your own will. You turned it over to God. So when we worship him, we must worship him according to his will, not ours. We should be like Jesus on that cross when he said, or rather in that garden, when he said, Father, take away this cup. But not as I will, but as thy will, let thy will be done. There were others in the Bible who sought to worship God according to their own will. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, time would not permit us to talk all or read all about Nadab and Abihu, but you take the time and you study it. They worship God according to their own will. The Bible says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein and incense thereon. And listen, offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, now listen, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. God expects all of us to worship him, not according to our desires and our pleasure and our wishes, but according to his. After all, it is he that we are worshiping, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It's not ourselves. We must learn to please God not only in worship, but in everything that we do. In fact, if anyone is to serve God, he must follow Christ. The Bible says in John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. If we're going to follow Jesus, then we're going to have to serve him. We're going to have to do according to his will. In all things, including the worship of God, we must seek to do the Father's will and not our own. John 6:38. Jesus says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Is it the Father's will that we worship him? Yes. John 4 again, verses 23 and 24. In John 5 and verse 30, Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek. Now listen, not mine own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. God hastened the day when all of humanity would look to do the Father's will in worshiping him, not bringing in the innovations such as mechanical instruments of music and worship, praise teams with praise dancing and microphone bassing and all of these kinds of innovations into the worship of God. Pray tell, where is the authority, the divine warrant from God to put these things into practice in worship of God? Brethren, we need to focus on the will of God. Well, God will not accept one's worship if he or she is not one of his children. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, even cast out devils? Then shall I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You don't want God to say that he doesn't know you, especially when you approach him in worship. Then you need to be a child of his. And you need to be faithful as a child of his, Revelation 2:10. How do you become a child of his? to worship him according to his will, you must believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God with all of your heart, Acts 8, 36 and 37. You must make your mind up to follow him. That's called repentance. And do follow him. He commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, 30 and 31. Confessing his name before men with your mouth, Romans 10 and 10. You surrender to the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin, Acts 2, 38. He adds you to the body of them that are being saved, Acts 2, 40 and 47. And as members thereof, don't seek to do your own will. Follow his will. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Brother Orr. We appreciate you so very much for the message tonight. Certainly, we all need to understand that it's not about us, not about our will, but doing the will of God. And so there's so many people today in the religious world who are worshiping God, and they really believe they're doing it according to his will, but the problem is that it's according to their own personal will, and they have not followed the scriptures. So if you're on this call tonight, we are encouraging you, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, consider the worship pattern that you're in and that what you're participating in. Understand it. Is it your will? What's the will of God? What is the will of God? Has Jesus done his will? We want to do his will, and the will is that we worship him according to the scripture. That's what we do in the Churches of Christ. We sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We pray. We give. We partake in the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We don't bass mic, beatbox, or praise dance, or use instrument of music in worship, because those are all according to the will of man and not according to the will of God. We want you to know this tonight. If you're on the call tonight, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to be a member of that true church that worships according to God's will. And Brother Orr has told you tonight you must obey the gospel, and that is that you must be buried with him in baptism, wash away your sins. The Lord then would add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. If you're on the call tonight, you want to be baptized. We want you to do us a favor and get back with the person who invited you to hear this message tonight. And tell them you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, where they worship, not according to man's will, but according to the will of God. And then also, if you have need for further Bible study or you want to know more, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or perhaps you want to go back and listen to any of our messages. We've had a large audience this week. Another large audience tonight. We're so thankful. But you may want to go back and take your time to listen to Brother Orr's message tonight about will worship to make sure you're not in danger of worshiping God in vain. So do that. Go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And then just click on Nationwide Gospel Call. And there you find all of our messages, downloadable, recorded messages. You can go back and listen to them at your own leisure and also in the privacy of your own home. And do your own personal studies on these topics that we're put out there for you since the month of May. As many of them out there. So if you got questions about anything, about why we take the Lord's Supper, why we don't use instrument music, why we say there's one church, what about homosexuality, what about same-sex marriage, what about abortion, you want to go back and go to our website. All those topics are on there, and you can learn more. The important thing is that you want to save your soul, and we hope you will do this with that in mind. So let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we thank you for loving us and giving your only Son who gave his life on the cross. On Calvary, where he shed his blood and washed our sins away in baptism, and that same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible that we can read it upon the truth and just stay with that truth. Thank you for providing that to us. Father, thank you for Brother Orr and his ministry and those worshiping him, those he served, being 35 plus years there in Orlando, Florida. Bless his wife and children and all those associated with him. Give him a long life, and he may continue preach your word out of addition or subtraction. Father, we love you. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, been a great week. Monday night, Brother Gary Collin came about tithing. Brother Blackwell last night about homosexuality. Brother Charles Earl tonight about we'll worship tomorrow night. Brother Larry Acuff will come talking about vain worship. And closing us out this week, Brother Otis Smith from Lafayette, Louisiana, about true worship. Don't miss this week. Don't miss this week. A lot of great calls, a lot of great topics. Please invite someone. Thank you for those who have been supporting our call. We've been ranging 18 to 2,000 plus this week. We've had a large call this week, a large call. And we're so thankful we've had this many participants since the month of May. It's interesting that people are still tuning in and joining our call. We know it's blessing you, blessing your lives, and we're reaching those who don't know Jesus and the pardon of their sins. Join us tomorrow night. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial donation. All those who are doing it, we appreciate you. If you have such a desire, you want to support our call, go ahead and go to our website, hollyheightcoc.net. It's online giving, and there you can give to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. Or you can mail it to us. Everything's right there on the website. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. We love you. I pray you have a good night, Trent.